What's up, Scott?
Hey, how's it going, man?
Good, man. Hey, we're back on the Grove Collective podcast.
Good to fire it back up.
Yeah.
Season two. Nice.
Why don't you tell everybody what this season is all about?
Yeah, so on this season, we want to kind of dive into our sermon series that we're doing. So just recently started this series, Jesus Is, and each week looking at a different kind of aspect of Jesus. So like this last Sunday, Jesus is a healer. And then each week focuses on a different aspect of Jesus. And during this time together, we want to just kind of unpack and explore that sermon a little bit. And then we've told people that they can ask anything. So tell people what the ask anything is.
Yes. So we just wanted to let everybody listening know that you can literally ask us anything. And our hope is that questions will come in about the specific sermon that was just preached on Sunday.
Yeah.
And we want to give people an opportunity to have those questions answered. So our pastoral team and staff, we're going to come together every week and we're going to try our best to
answer these questions. Just want to respond as best we can. We don't have all the answers. Yep. That's not what this is about.
Nope.
Maybe you do. I know I don't. No, of course we don't have all the answers. But, you know, as we've talked before, I mean, Sunday sermons are great. It's great content. It's a great sermon. It's a 30 minutes. It's really something for people to take in. But people do have questions. I mean, we sit there and we listen and we do think, you know, but what about this and what about that? And, you know, the sermon, the worship service, that setting is great for so many things. It's not always so conducive to sort of raise your hand and kind of ask some questions. And that's fine. Yeah. So then we're like, hey, how can we make some space for that?
Yeah.
How can we make some room for people to essentially kind of raise their hand and say, hey, that's a great point. Love that. What about this?
Yeah.
And have a question that they can ask that we can actually try to respond to as well as we can.
Yeah.
So that's the idea, ask anything. Yeah. So send in the questions.
And I think that's such an important part of our spiritual formation. If we're not asking questions, we're not being forced to wrestle with our faith, and our faith, I don't think, is growing. So it's important. If you guys have questions, please ask your questions.
Yeah. And they can do that through?
Yeah. They can go online to thegroveaz.org/askanything.
Perfect. You just go there, and there's a form right there. Super simple. Put your name on there, your question.
You can keep it anonymous, too, if you don't want
people to know. Or it can be anonymous. Yeah. It's just nothing but just in like your email. So if we need to have clarity on something, but it's really, you're just putting in a question.
Yeah.
And that's it. And then hit submit or send or whatever, and done.
Yep. And speaking of not having all the answers, I feel like this last weekend's message that Byron preached was a topic where there's a lot of questions.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're going to jump into that. But yep. Byron, if you guys listened to it, hopefully you did. If not, go listen to the sermon before this episode. But he talked about how Jesus is the healer.
Mm-hmm.
And
John 9.
Yeah, I feel like if you live a long enough life, you're going to end up experiencing some things that you're going to pray for healing from. And I know I have a lot of experience where I've prayed for healing in my life with my loved ones, and I feel like God kind of answers this prayer differently for all of us. So one of the first things that I wanted to talk about, Scott, is in John chapter 9, specifically in this passage that Byron preached on, right at the beginning, the disciples were actually asking a question and they encountered a blind man and they asked Jesus, they said, Jesus, who sinned?
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's so powerful and important for us to address that question. And they said, who sinned? Was it this man or his parents that he's blind?
Yeah. I mean, in their culture, there was that belief that if someone is paralyzed, if they have some ailment in some way like that, it is a result of some type of curse, essentially, that they're sort of under, that they deserve in one form or another. So that's why they said, did he do something wrong, right, or his parents? And of course, Jesus, he pretty clearly answers that one. And it's like, neither of them did that. And I love that because he kind of debunks that whole idea that, you know, that this is a result of something wrong that you did.
Mm.
And, you know, we don't, you know, in our culture now, we don't have like the superstition piece like that, maybe so much, but we do ask that question. Did I do something to deserve this? What did I do to deserve this? Here I am. I'm a pretty good person, and I just found out that I have this horrible thing. And that person, I mean, they're kind of a lousy person. They've done way more bad things than me. They're pretty,
Yeah.
And they're fine.
Yeah.
They seem to be doing well. They're living large.
Yeah.
So what did I do to deserve this?
I think that question is so important, even for us today, because it reveals number one, more about who God is. And number two, it reveals more about our heart as a human being. Because number one, a lot of us, if we don't ask this question, we won't realize that God isn't a God who is just waiting to punish us for our sin, right? Because some of us live our life that way. We think that, oh my gosh, I messed up, I'm going to hell. Or I messed up, I deserve this.
Right.
And then it shows that like religious aspect of our heart where we start to compare ourselves with other people. We're like, wait, I'm not as bad as them, so I don't deserve this.
Right.
So yeah. That's why it's important that we actually try to answer these questions, because it reveals more about who God is and also kind of who we are as human beings too.
Yeah, which is kind of goes back to this series as a whole. Jesus is in trying to help us have as clear and accurate view and picture of God as we can. Yeah. So that's why, I mean, I do love the series. You know, Jesus is these things, and that doesn't mean that we still don't have questions. We absolutely do. And even with a podcast like this where we try our best to address them, we're still gonna have, that's okay, that's good. We're gonna be wrestling. And that, like you said, those questions and that wrestling and even maybe some doubts that come with it, that can all totally be challenged to grow us, 100%. I mean, it is how we will continue to move forward. We can keep moving forward and growing with all those kind of questions and mysteries a part of it.
Yeah.
Totally. But the series Jesus is helping us just get that right view and picture of God. And this, you know, Jesus makes clear in this particular case, hey, I am a healer.
Yeah.
And I love you, and I do want to bring healing into your lives.
And one of the things too that I just want to continue this question, if this man's blindness didn't come from his sin or the sin of his parents, how do we reconcile where that actually does come from?
Yeah, yeah. And I'll be honest with you, I do myself even want to think more of Jesus's response when he says, hey, it didn't come from his sin or his parents. Okay, that's pretty clear. That's pretty straightforward, right? That's helpful. He said, but it's for this moment. It's for what I'm about to do in this moment is why he has this. And even that, I'm like, okay, but what, like, so does that mean, was he born with that? Like, on purpose so you could heal him right now? Like, there's even some, I don't have all of that figured out, you know? But I would say this, right? That when Jesus comes, he inaugurates his kingdom. He brings his kingdom with. So, you know, Jesus some of his first public words, you know, repent for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. So he ushers in and inaugurates what kingdom life and living is all about.
Yeah.
So what does that look like? Well, it looks like the life of Jesus, but it includes him doing things like this. Healing people, you know, restoring life holistically to people, certainly people being unified with God once again and made right with him, all of that. So Jesus heals, not a huge surprise that he does that. The real question is that would that still happen today? Does healing still, and maybe this is a little different question, but it shouldn't surprise us when someone is healed even today, because Jesus did break in and inaugurate his kingdom and the reality of that right here and now. At the same time, we're still living in this fallen world.
That's right.
We're still living in a world that is marked and polluted and devastated by sin and death and evil.
Yeah.
And so, you know, the fancy theological term is this, like, already, not yet. We already have the kingdom of God, and yet we're waiting its fulfillment. We're waiting its consummation. We don't yet have it completely. So we're in that in-between space. And so as I heard someone say one time, we shouldn't be shocked when even today we hear about God miraculously healing someone. And so pray for it, ask for it, seek it out. And when it happens, honestly, don't even be totally shocked, because God has brought his kingdom here now. We also live in a world that has not yet been fully redeemed. And so I'm also not shocked when I get the horrible news that happens way too often. Yeah. And tragedy strikes again, and disease shows its face again, and death just comes knocking on the door once again. I'm not shocked by that either, because that's still the world that we live in.
Yeah. You just described this tension that I think we have as believers. And even growing up, one of the things that I always processed is, what makes the most sense with my reality that I'm experiencing when it comes to what I believe? Mm-hmm. And even Jesus inaugurating this new kingdom, right?
Yep.
And even me growing up, I didn't grow up consistently in church, but I saw evil around me. Mm-hmm. Like I saw the consequences and ramifications of evil around
me.
Yeah. My family members being addicted to drugs, and I find it very interesting that Jesus uses this kingdom language, but then he even references Satan being the ruler or of the principalities of this, of the air or of this, this world, right? And so you do see that it is almost these two kingdoms that are at war with one another.
Right.
And so, like you said, I'm not going to be surprised when ailment comes or disease comes, and I'm going to believe fully that God is capable of healing. And even when that healing doesn't come, I know that I still have so much to look forward to.
Right. Yeah. It may come now or it may not, but we have the faith and the belief and hope that it will come in the future, even if it doesn't happen now.
Right.
And that can still bring us back to the question, but why me? And why not that person?
Yeah.
And why that kid? Come on, talk about someone innocent. I mean, that's as innocent, like, what's that? You know, explain that.
Yeah. Mm.
I don't think we can explain that. I mean, other than trying to sort of describe the reality of heaven and earth overlapping a bit right now, and us living in that space where they overlap. I mean, other than that, that still doesn't offer. There's no explanation. And you know what? Even if there is, that doesn't take away.
It's not going to be good enough on this side of eternity.
No.
That leads me to a verse that I feel like God brought to my heart that I want to share with you and with everybody who's listening, because I feel like this is what Jesus brings us and what the gospel brings us. Mm. And I just want to share this verse and then we can transition. In Proverbs chapter 18, verse 14, it says, "The human spirit can endure in sickness." The human spirit can endure in sickness, but a crushed spirit, who can bear? And so I just want to break this down. It says the human spirit can endure when our body's failing us, but a crushed spirit, who can bear? Mm. What that tells me is that when we don't know Jesus and we don't have the gospel alive in our lives and we haven't entered into this new kingdom way of life, that it's very easy to have a crushed spirit when our body starts to fail us. Mm. But just like you were saying, when you live in that already and not yet, God's spirit is in us. And so we have this new spirit, this new heart. And even in the midst of physical ailment or disease or degeneration, we can still thrive.
Yeah.
Because of what the gospel brings us.
Yeah. No, that's awesome. That's a great perspective that verse brings us. And it kind of reminds us that how can we thrive, right? And it kind of brings together this idea that suffering that we're going through or facing, whatever it sort of looks like, whatever it is, that suffering can somehow be something that is used to help us mature and grow and to become more like Christ. Paul talks about this all the time. You know, I mean, he suffered immensely in all sorts of ways. I mean, beaten and stoned and shipwrecked and imprisoned.
But his spirit
never gave way. In fact, when he writes in Philippians, he's like, you know what? If I don't know what's gonna happen to me here. He's imprisoned in Philippians. And he says, essentially, he's like, I could be executed. And if so, hey, that's good for me because I'm gonna go be with God.
Amen.
And if I'm released, which that could happen too, then that's good for you because I pour my life into others and I love you and I serve you and that's gonna be good for you. So, you know, either way was a win-win for him, but to what you're saying, it gets back to, well, how could either one sort of be a win-win for him because of where his spirit, his attitude was with the whole thing was I am with Jesus and I'm with Jesus whatever I'm facing, whatever I'm going through, whether it's easy, whether it's hard, whether it's suffering, whether it's triumph, whether it's execution, or they unlock the cell tomorrow and say I can walk free.
Right.
I'm with him regardless. And that starts right now and is just gonna continue on with me. And so, again, like going back to his suffering, he just saw it as ways that he identified all the more with Christ in his sufferings. And one last little thought I had on Paul, since we're talking about Paul, that I think is just a good thing when we think about on a personal level, when we go back to that question, you know, why me and why not them, is to not forget that Paul prayed 3 times for someone. We don't know exactly what the suffering was in his life or the thorn in his flesh, whatever that was. And there's different ideas and theories, but who knows? Who even cares? Let's just say if it's a thorn in the flesh, let's say it's not a good thing. It's bad news from the doctor. Okay? It's not good. And he prayed 3 times that it would be removed, that he would be healed from it, that he would no longer have to deal with it. And it would just, and God did it. God did it. And this, and you're talking about someone who on a rational surface level deserves something. I mean, you could say, man, Paul, I mean, he would deserve it. I mean, look at all he's doing. I mean, shoot, remove the thorn, let this guy's changing the world. Like, if anybody deserves it, it's him. Nope. Didn't do it. Didn't remove it. Why? I don't know. I mean, we can, you know, it was a growing thing. It was all this stuff.
The one thing that he did say was that it kept him close to God. It kept him close to Jesus, right? And he said that's why it wasn't removed, to keep him humble. And when I read that, it's to keep you close to God's presence.
Yeah.
And it's not that I don't believe God is intentionally doing that so that you'll stay close to him, right? I don't believe that. That's just my personal
right. No, belief. No, I don't. But you're right. It did allow him to say, you know, it forced me, this whatever this was, it forced me to depend on you. And what did I find when I did that? Your grace is sufficient for me. Your grace is sufficient. So I mean, in the midst of this suffering, he grew all the more in his grace and dependency on Christ and realizing, wow, you are enough. Which led him in that book of Philippians to end with, I've learned the secret of contentment. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I'm content in the midst of, and you know, in some way we all experience this. When do we learn the biggest lessons in life? It's not when things are easy. It's not when we're living large. That's not when we learn lessons in life, right? We learn the lessons when we're going through some of the hardest, most difficult times is when we learn some of that. And for Paul, that, I mean, that was one that he learned. God's grace, it's his dependency on God in a whole new level, a whole new way that brought ultimate contentment in his life.
Yeah. As I was watching everybody respond to Byron's message at the end and even Dre was singing Katie's song, In Jesus' Name, God of Possible. Mm-hmm. I saw so many people weeping in service. And I just want to share with everybody who's listening to this, what's the worst thing that could happen to all of us that we believe? It's like our greatest fear. It's death. Mm-hmm. All of us deep down, that's the worst thing that could happen to us. Yeah. And you shared that Paul's perspective and his spirit was, if I die, it's gain because I'm with Jesus fully.
Yep.
And if I don't die, I still have the presence of God with me here already.
Yep.
And so I can endure.
I can endure and I can keep.
Yeah. And I just want to share with everybody who's listening, even to make it personal, we had some friends that were in town that were at this Sunday service. It's like, we didn't plan this. And a good friend just received news a couple weeks ago that her sister received a diagnosis, a cancer diagnosis. And from the outside looking in, it's not good. It's not. And she said, I can't believe that I was at service and the message was on healing and I didn't have the words to pray for my sister, but Katie's song that Dre sang at the end of that message gave me words that I needed. And she said, I'm praying for a miracle for my sister, but I know ultimately, even if she doesn't find healing, that we still have so much to look forward to in Christ. And so I just wanted to tell everybody listening that this is what we get as believers, that death is not the worst thing that could happen to us. It's not. It's something that none of us can escape. All of us have to go through. But what that means for us is that we get to experience God fully.
Yeah.
right?
Yeah, that's great. Yeah, yeah. That, yep, exactly.
And it doesn't negate the pain that we experience on this side. It doesn't, but it does give us hope, and that makes our spirit strong.
Yes, yeah. We don't have to. We don't live without that hope, with then resulting in a crushed spirit. Yeah, yeah, we can stay strong internally. That's good.
And even talking about this, it makes my heart heavy, but that doesn't mean that my spirit is broken. You know,
right.
Because I felt the weight of everyone that was suffering. Even in our church, I felt it. Like, there were so many tears that were shed.
Yeah.
But this is what is so beautiful about the gospel.
Yeah. No, it's great. And it does also highlight the level of pain that people are either experiencing themselves or with and alongside someone else, which is sad and hard.
It is.
Because Jesus has conquered this, right, through the cross and the resurrection. But the fact that we still face it and live with what we do in this world doesn't make it any more horrendous and painful and miserable. And so
it leads me to even kind of like how we can segue the ending of our time and how Byron segued the ending of his message. He said, "What happens if the healing that you prayed for doesn't come?" And he kind of asked that question that I feel like all of us ask. Well, what if God doesn't bring this healing? And Byron got really personal, and he referenced the passing of his uncle, of Palmer's identical twin brother. And he said, "We prayed for a miracle, and we prayed that my uncle would be healed, and that prayer wasn't answered." And so he referenced something that I think is important for us to realize as believers, and it's a reminder of what we need to be for those who are hurting. And he says, "If the prayer that you prayed doesn't get answered, I want you to be reminded that God might answer that prayer just a little differently."
Mm-hmm.
And he says that God will bring community to you during hard times. And oftentimes you might not get the prayer answered that you wanted, but you'll still find healing in the midst of community, even when you're going through a hard time.
Yeah.
And so he challenged us. He said, "How can you be a source of comfort and healing for others that are hurting in your life?" Because oftentimes God's presence, I mean, oftentimes we do believe that God's presence and spirit is in us and with us.
Yeah.
And so what we need to be mindful of is, how do we bring that presence to others when they're in a time of need or hurting?
Yeah. Yeah. No, that's really good. And again, people are, you know, we should pray for it. We still should. Absolutely. Don't stop praying for that, right? Don't stop praying that a healing would happen here and now on this side of heaven, you know? But of course it doesn't always, and we all know that because, man, we see it and live in it day in and day out. And it still does, but it's going to happen on the other side. So like we said, we have that hope and we look forward to that. But I love that reminder that the healing comes with the community. You think in the Old Testament, when people would go to the temple, they would go to, why the temple? I mean, this is where the presence of God was. So people would come to the temple to find, you know, to bring their sacrifice. They would come with impurities and they would leave, you know, clean and pure. They would find a place of forgiveness and healing and leave. And now we are the temple of God, right? Like you were saying, his spirit is dwelling within us. We are his temple. And so one of the things that, like, truly we are meant to do is to be the presence of God around and towards one another, which would include comfort and healing and uplifting and encouragement and all of those things. But I love the reminder that because God's spirit is no longer dwelling in that place or that building or that mountain, it's here in us as believers, his church. We are the presence of God to one another. We bring that.
And I love this, and this is how I even want to wrap up our time. People don't have to get to the temple now in order to experience God's presence. It's our job and responsibility as believers to get the temple to them.
Yeah.
And so that's what we, and everybody listening, that's what we need to do.
Yeah.
We literally get to take the temple where God's presence and spirit is found and dwells, and we bring that to other people now.
And view ourselves as really as being that presence of God together to others.
Yep. And we bring it to them, and we pray for healing, And we believe that God can and will do that. And even if he doesn't, we still bring a source of comfort that does bring healing. Yeah. It just might look differently than what we would expect, you know?
Yeah.
Man, I feel awesome. I feel led, Scott, to ask you to pray for everybody who's listening who might be praying for healing. Mm-hmm. And just like, I just feel like that's how we need to end our time on this episode. So if you could do that for us, man, that would be amazing.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, let's do that.
God, thank you for being a healer as we've been talking about, that you are the great, almighty, powerful, working God that brings healing and life to all that look to you. And we just lift up anyone that's listening or watching this that is looking for that healing, that is looking for that source of new beginning in life and comfort that's found in you. And God, we just pray that you'd bring healing to their lives, to their families, to their marriages, to their ailment or disease, whatever it is that they're experiencing and praying for, God, we do pray that you would bring that healing right now and right here to them. And God, our hope is in you. So whether whatever that looks like and however that works now, God, we just pray that you would continue to bring the hope and the hope in life that is found in you, God. Would you help people to see that, to find that, to be comforted in that? Would they find real people, your church, your presence through one another, surrounding them and bringing a true source of healing and hope and love into their lives at this very time? We pray in your name, Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, man. Amen.